Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded April the 9th, 2009. Corn, wheat, and new crop soybeans finished the week lower, but old beans gained a bit. We'll ask why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee. Our panelists in studio today are Steve Schilling of Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Here's how the numbers finished at the CME Group in Chicago week over week. The high, low, and settlement price on the composite trade, that's the overnight and day combined May wheat futures, had a high in Chicago at 572 and three quarters, a low this week of 521, with a settlement price at $5.22, down 41 and a half. July, a 533 and a half settlement price, down 42 and a quarter for the harvest month soft red winter wheat. May corn futures are 407 and a quarter top, bottom at 389 and a quarter on the week, and a settlement price down 14 and a quarter from the previous week at $3.90 and a quarter. December futures at 421 and three quarters, lost 13 and three quarter cents week over week in Chicago for December corn futures. May soybeans, $10.30 and three quarters the high, the low at 981 and a half. Settlement price up 11.5 cents at $10.07, but the November futures lost a penny and a quarter to settle at $9.22 in the soybean pit. April live cattle futures, 87.70 the high, the low at 85.60, with a settlement price at 87.52.5, a buck 47.5 higher from the previous week, and the April feeders at 98.15 settled $2.75 higher. April lean hogs this week, a $60.25 top with a range to a bottom at $57.90. A settlement price there at $58 even, down $2.27.5 for the April lean hog futures.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week, again, was recorded on Thursday, the 9th day of April. Our panelists in studio are Kurt Kimmel, Steve Schilling, and Wayne Nelson. Let's open discussion with this question. Many of our analysts have assumed a neutral posture as we enter the planting season, but remain adamant that old crop corn stalks should be liquidated over the next several weeks unless, of course, a true planting delay develops. What's your stance? Wayne Nelson.
Well, Todd, I think we got a chance for one more little pop-up here going on into things. As I look at the weather forecast out there, it gives me a real feeling of uneasiness that these farmers are going to get started on time and get moving through as fast as they'd like to. So I think there's one last weather pop before the market's over as far as the old corn. But, you know, we did move a little bit on Thursday morning, right first after the open. But, you know, we'd like to proceed with a little more old crop sales at that point in time if we get another pop.
Steve Schilling?
Totally in agreement. I think all eyes will be to the weather right now. We're not late yet, but we're approaching it. And once we get past Easter, then I think the markets will start concentrating more and more on the weather.
And Kurt Kimmel.
Yeah, we feel we need to use strength in here over the next few weeks to get to where you want to be. Still a lot of old corn out there. We get calls every day, I'm sure everybody does, on what to do with some of this old corn. And I think we need to get to a point where we're comfortable with it, and it down to some levels that you want to hold in the summer in case we get some more weather concerns down the road. But this is the rally we've been waiting for. Hopefully this wet weather or concerns stay somewhere else other than central Illinois.
Let's turn it around and go the other direction and talk about new crop and what you're doing with it at this point.
Well, it depends. I mean, each individual's different. It depends if you have crop revenue insurance or not, on-farm storage, off-farm storage. But I think you got to be a scale-up seller as we go. Last year, you know, we trended higher, and if you didn't sell into it, it was awful hard to make some additional sales. But we're going to give the market a little time in here. If we do not get the strength in here, I think you got to get some coverage on paper fairly quickly.
Totally in agreement. We're recommending to almost to be 40-45% sold already. $4 has been a goal out of the field for fall corn, just as a benchmark cash. If we get to there, we're going to get up probably to 50-60% sold.
I'd have to agree that we have to be looking at scaling into this, Todd. We looked at the possibility in different places of trying to have some $4 cash or fall corn sold also. But we're looking at the guys with storage, of course, going on out a little bit, trying to use the carry to add a little bit to that.
Thursday morning, USDA released the World Agricultural and Supply and Demand Estimates, otherwise known as the WASDE numbers. For the most part, they were within the range of what traders were thinking about. The one thing that may have been of note was in the soybeans, where USDA showed that exports were going to be bigger than they expected. Do you think that will end up being the case, and what difference does it make?
Well, we've taken about a 230, 240 carryout down to about 165 now. So China's been aggressive, uncertainty about getting beans out of the southern hemisphere. It's great because typically we lose this demand February, and it's sticking around. So it tightens it up. But what's more important is you take this year's ending carryout, taking it into next year's carryout, if we don't get the big bean acres coming at us, it tightens next year's up considerably, too.
So does that mean that you're a willing holder of soybean stocks?
Well, we've got a few left on old crop just hanging on here. But if South America opens up, we see those beans come to market, our bean market could turn south in a hurry. So I think you got to use strength to get sold up. And plus, too, if we stay wet, we're going to see a lot more bean acres.
Well, on Thursday, we sold some $10 cash beans, or above $10 cash beans in most cases with the basis levels. We're keeping those, what you call Las Vegas beans around, I guess, Todd, the ones that you want to gamble a little bit on, the ones that you might save around to pay for that one extra toy you want to buy or something like that. But in general, we'd like to, over $10, be liquidated down fairly well in our beans.
In fact, the basis was over in some places on soybeans during the week. Have you got a good handle on where regionally basis was? Was it just amount being around probably the processors, and how soon will they get to the point where they're all up and done and basis starts to weaken again?
Well, that's a good question. You can never second guess the processors by any means, but the basis has been relatively strong, staying strong. I agree with Wayne. $10 old beans at this point in time, I think I'd be cleaning my beans out unless, like he said, you got some Las Vegas beans.
What else do we talk about then this week? Are we all up and done? There's got to be more to do this week than we've talked about already, but we priced everything out. What did you see in the marketplace that made you think differently this week than it has in the past weeks?
Well, we're basically 7 weeks off the low, and technically we didn't really end with a ball of fire, especially on the corn. We sort of ended the week lower. We didn't penetrate those highs of the week before, so technically we got to be real cautious here as we go in the next week or two. So fundamentally we're still fairly strong, but the technicals is our concern.
When do we get concerned about weather?
I'm concerned about weather right now, Todd. I think that, that we're looking, we're watching, and we're keeping an eye on what the 6 to 10 days says. And it's going to be very important come Sunday evening what that weather forecast has said and done and how it looks like and when it looks like we'll get to be moving into the fields. You know, we're talking about the drier, warmer, drier weather for the northwest part of the Corn Belt, but there's still some snow in some of those areas, so that takes a while to come off. There's ponds all the way along. We traveled across Indiana and Illinois on Monday, and we saw a lot of ponding, a lot of different places, a lot of water coming over to the station today, and more rain forecast, quite a bit of rain forecast for the weekend, depending on which forecaster you do and what develops. So there's a lot of things that cause some planning delays out there right now. Is it early? Yes, it's very early yet, but we're used to getting the crop in the ground starting in mid-April, and we're going to be at least a week behind that.
Maybe the question should be really, Steve, not when do we become concerned about getting the crop in and planting, but when does the trade get concerned about not getting a corn crop in the ground It seems that we've been able to put it in late and still managed awfully good crops in previous years. Last year's a good for instance.
That's exactly right, Todd. I don't think they will react this year quite as quickly as we have in the past, simply for what you just stated. Short-term memory is not only in farmers' minds, it's in everybody's mind. And the trade remembers last year, and I think they will eventually react depending on how long and how severe this thing is. Part of the problem that I see it is the areas that are really ready to plant corn is here in central Illinois. We've got a lot of areas that couldn't get anything done last fall. Anhydrous is not on. Field work hasn't started a la northwest Illinois. So the planters will roll here in central Illinois probably before any place else. So it'll be interesting.
That brings up an interesting observation that came out of Iowa NAST, the National Agricultural Statistics Service there, on their first, and everybody's was this week, their first crop progress report. Of course, nobody had anything to really report in terms of planting, but Iowa does collect some optional information, and they showed that 47% of their fertilizer had been applied already. In terms of normal, they're normally at 55%, but 8% just doesn't seem like that Iowa's as far behind maybe as Illinois is at this time.
Well, it's going to vary from location to location, and that's going to be the challenge. Like we've mentioned, it's wet, so it's going to be a struggle because you just can't do it all at once. So that's where the weather starts to be fairly critical in here. But I think these fertilized guys, they're anxious to – they're geared up. They're ready. They're anxious to get rid of that product real quick.
Well, the other point then is on anhydrous and field work together. When you talk to producers, and maybe I can pull all of you on this one, how much extra time do they think they need to get a crop in the ground and planted properly this year, not just planted, so that they get time to do field work, they get time to put anhydrous on, they get the 5 to 7 days that they generally would need between anhydrous application and planting? How much extra time are they thinking that they need compared to a normal fall and following that into the spring?
Well, Todd, I think one of the things that we're talking about, and I've heard many, many times in the meetings we went out to from the farmers, if I need to, I'll side dress. And that is, I don't think if it gets later, they're not going to put the anhydrous down ahead and wait the 5 days. I think that they're going to put the corn in the ground, and when it pops on up, they'll be side dressing rather than worrying about doing it pre-plant.
Are they worried about getting nurse tanks or tanks for anhydrous at this point? This is one of the things that the Illinois Fertilizer Association has been talking about. That there's, and I find this somewhat hard to believe, but there's a fleet of nurse tanks or anhydrous tanks that move from one end of the state to the other over time, from the south to the north. Although I kind of thought that maybe that happens with FS. I don't know about the rest of the folks, but that there might be some concern that availability of bars to put anhydrous on, availability with tanks to put anhydrous on, and that could slow the progress down quite a bit too. Has anybody heard farmers' concerns about being able to get anhydrous or product other than having to pay for it?
I don't think so, Todd. I think that it's a great thing to talk about. It's when you've got a product that's too high, or priced too high compared to some of your competitors or what some of the other people are doing out there and what its price has gone down in the meantime, you like to at least emphasize some of the services that you can offer besides just the high price. So I think that's more of a fertilizer talking point than it is reality.
Was there anything, Steve, in the World Agricultural and Supply Demand estimates on the global side from numbers that you saw that piqued your interest in terms of total crop size for corn, soybeans, or wheat, or particular nations and what they were or were not going to be able to raise in the coming years?
Well, actually, I thought it was pretty benign. The only thing that maybe caught my interest a little bit was the reduction in soybeans. Went from 40, what did we go to, March estimate, 49.95 to 45.84. That's a significant number, but still that's a lot of beans in the world. We're not going to run out of beans. Is it a talking point? Maybe to a slight degree, but I don't think it's anything really to get excited about at this point in time.
We have a long weekend in front of us before trade resumes on Sunday. Does it come back up on Sunday night? I'm sure it does.
Sunday night.
Resumes on Sunday night. What will the trade be looking for when those first few hours of trade on Sunday night and then into Monday morning?
Well, the first thing they'll watch right away as far as trade activity, they'll watch the strength or weakness of the dollar. They'll look at the price of crude oil. They'll look what the Dow's doing there because it opens an hour earlier. After that, they'll focus on the weather maps and see how wet the Midwest is as we go through the week.
John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee, will join us in a few moments. We'll talk with him. Our panelists in studio today are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Kirk Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Steve Schilling of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. Any quick final word from each of you?
Well, this is the rally we've been looking for, and I think we need to take advantage of it because the market's anxious and it can move in a hurry.
If you can bear with me, I've got a philosophical quote. Maybe you can change the past. You can't change the past, but you can ruin a particularly good present by worrying about the future.
Well, Todd, I think that we're going to be watching the weather from here on in.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. After a cold and wintry start to the week, the weather moderated and turned out well until late Thursday. Snow fell across parts of northern and central Illinois early this week, despite the fact that it's early April. April snow is not unheard of in Illinois, but the good thing about it this time of year is that it typically is gone in a day or two. As the storm that brought the rain and snow last weekend and early this week departed, high pressure drifted over the Midwest and brought quiet weather to Illinois for the middle part of the week. Temperatures this week averaged 4 to 8 degrees below normal, with highs struggling to get out of the 30s early this week, but warming to around 60 by Thursday. Precipitation was limited to mostly the eastern portions of Illinois on Sunday and Monday, and then across much of the state on late Thursday and Friday. We should get two decent days of weather this weekend as the Friday storm heads to the east and before the next storm approaches on Monday. That will bring rain to most of Illinois Monday into Tuesday, followed by another day or so of dry weather. Yet another storm will bring a chance for rain to Illinois again about next Thursday into Friday. Don't look for any big warm-ups. Temperatures will likely remain near to below normal through next week. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333 and by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Thursday, April the 9th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists are Wayne Nelson, Kurt Kimmel, and Steve Schilling. Our guest today is John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures in Memphis, Tennessee. Good afternoon to you, John.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for taking time with us. I know that most of our producers and listeners will know who you are and that you're not only a broker but a farmer, and they're always interested out of the box to see how much work has been done in the fields there and what you decided to plant.
Well, let's see. I've got a farm 120 miles south of Memphis, and they have finished corn planting and 25% complete on bean plantings. Bigger farm up near Memphis, we're finished with corn, again, 25%. Our bean acreage is, a huge amount of our winter wheat acreage went away and became single crop beans. Big shift, like from 3,500 acres last year of wheat beans to only 1,000 this year. And corn acreage is slightly higher, and of course, no cotton acreage. And around here, around Memphis, very little field work has been done. I was over at my farm yesterday, and only one planter was running between my farm and Memphis, and we had five running on our place. So most farmers apparently don't want to plant this early.
One quick clarification, that switch from wheat to single crop beans, that was not I ripped it up and put it in. It was you just didn't put them in the ground, right?
just didn't put them in the ground because of the real bad basis problems we've had.
Well, John, what's the attitude through the South here on this acreage? You think overall a little heavier corn or heavier beans?
Heavier beans. And we may have a – I switched a couple hundred acres of corn to beans today because we were finishing last night and it was wet and probably couldn't get into that into the field for a week or so and just said, well, hell, we can make more money planting beans anyway, so we did. But the story in the South is beans, okay. Promise you, beans.
Let's sort of follow up with that with the wet weather and so forth. How long before the trait – get farmers in your area be concerned about not getting corn in?
I'd say April 15th. After that, they get a little antsy. Now, south of here, there's a whole lot of stuff planted. Central Mississippi south, they're blowing and going.
Well, John, it's wet as the dickens up here. We haven't got hardly anything in the ground. We generally have had a pretty good start by now. Do you think that the floor will begin to get a little bit of weather premium put in this if we continue to rain for another couple weeks?
I would think some, but after last year's experience, it takes a brave person to say you can't make corn yields after you lost all that acreage in Iowa and everything. So I tend to be a little bit skeptical. I might end up switching some acres to beans because the ratios are fairly attractive. Personally, I think I can make more money at these prices with corn than beans. But now we get probably higher yield per acres than you do on beans. On irrigated beans, we're 60 to 70 bushels.
WASDE numbers were released on Thursday morning. Fundamentally, how do you view the whole of the marketplace?
I've been a huge hedger of beans and corn all year, and I still think by the March-June intentions, we're going to pick up bean acreage and possibly just plain more acreage. We lost about 6 million acres after you adjust for double crop in that first March intentions report, and it didn't really make a lot of sense with 1.3 million acres coming in from the CRP. So I kind of think we're going to pick up acreage, and I don't like what's been going on in animal numbers all year long. As y'all can see, the broiler chick sets are horrible. Hog numbers are not good, and cattle on feed numbers are good. So the consumption side of all the grains and soybean meal is bad. The exports have been super in beans, and you've got to consider what happens with China if they ever decide to let go of all these beans they've been buying. Well, the same thing's been going on in cotton. You try to protect your local farmers. You import other people's grains and cotton, keep your reserves, and then all of a sudden you run out of storage space and you have to sell it. And that's also happening in wheat in India. So it's just going to be a tough one to figure, but I really feel quite strongly if you're a farmer, you need to be big-time hedged November 9 beans at $9 and up.
And the corn? You paint a bleak picture on beans. How about corn?
Corn depends on what you think of energy prices. I kind of think corn's not going to go much lower than $3.50 any time, but because we might lose a little bit of acreage. Probably the most important thing that we can watch is Russia and Ukraine. I think I mentioned a lot of that in the last few times, but they have gotten on to Western technology at super yields last year, and people are presupposing that somehow they're going to go back to bad technology and have much less crops. And my experience in looking at some other countries is that once they get a taste of better yields, the neighbor that didn't do that next year does it. India, for instance, in cotton has doubled their cotton production in 5 years because of GMO cotton. And each year everybody said, well, they'll be down because last year was extraordinary. Well, the same thing goes on in Russia. So that's what's crushed the wheat market, and it really concerns me.
John, what about U.S. cotton acres? Are we in line with what we've been told?
I think so. It might be a little bit less, but I don't think it's dramatically different from the last USDA estimate. That was actually a high estimate from a lot of people's things, but a couple hundred thousand acres one way or the other is nothing in this scheme of things.
Can I bring you back to Russia and wheat and the Ukraine? My experience there, and I only traveled once, was that if those producers were near Kiev, that they were well-funded, they looked like U.S. producers, relatively speaking. But the further you got out, and the further didn't mean very far, 80, you know, 80 or 100 miles from there, mm-hmm. that the less experience they had, while they may be able to put a good wheat seed into the ground, they didn't have the equipment or the ability to buy diesel, I think more importantly, when it was high priced. And that it, do you think that it might be possible that while they have a really good crop or a bigger crop in the ground, that they simply won't harvest it, that they'll leave it in the field?
No. For instance, there was a auction of combines about 6 months ago, and every single combine sold to Russia. And you've got Cargill, ADM, BlackRock, you name it, whole bunches of companies putting in new equipment and buying farmland in Russia or renting farmland in Russia. So I really think that's an expanding story rather than a one-time shot.
So it'll go from it'll be the corporate farm that brings in the yield there from now on.
Well, the experience we've seen, you can read lots of 10-Ks on these companies, and in almost every case, they're doubling local yields.
John, a lot of talk has been about the economy will be recovering in the fourth quarter or first quarter of next year. I have a little trouble imagining that the way the unemployment numbers keep rolling in. It's going to take that for the inflationary factor to hit the grains. When do you think we might see some economic recovery?
I'm not sure, but I sure believe that they are destroying the U.S. economy with debt. So I guess I've sort of reformed my thinking. I've been a huge seller of 10 and 11 grains at times, but I think we're heading for hyperinflation. If we are, you know, it sounds crazy. We might have 15% unemployment and 15% interest rates and 30 or 40% inflation. And if we as farmers are selling our products in an inflationary environment, we're better off not hedging. I mean, that's kind of an extreme way to look at it, but who's ever seen the debt creation they're doing? And there's no way they can possibly pay it off with any combination of tax increases and or benefit cuts. So the only way I see that they're going to do it is just simply debase the currency, which they're doing.
Well, John, as a grain marker, how you filter out this noise? I mean, one day we're watching the Dow, one day we're watching crude oil, the next day we're watching the dollar, then we're watching gold. Is there a certain outside market we really ought to pay attention to?
I don't know. It's like you say, it's chaos. We've never seen conditions like this. I don't know. I'm a fund manager, and that's what people pay me to do is speculate in all these markets, and I guess I just watch them all and just try to find things that are cheap to buy and things that you want to sell. You got to think about what do you really think about inflation. Maybe just forget that idea.
John, we appreciate you being with us today.
Great. It's always a pleasure.
John Bondurant is with Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee, joining us from his office on this ninth day when we recorded this program of April. You have been listening to Commodity Week. That does wrap up this edition of Commodity Week. We'd like to thank our panelists, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Steve Schilling of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Something to keep in mind, you can always access this program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer anytime you'd like. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program and other analysis. You can sign up for our free weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. And if you can't listen to us on the radio and you can't get to us on the web, you can always dial this number, 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. That number is 217-333-3434. We update it with the opening numbers and the closing numbers and a bit of analysis at 3:15 and 10:15 daily. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great week.